Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Also, be prepared to turn to Mark 4 and Luke 8. All three contain this great parable. Each one of those Gospels add a dimension that the others do not. So if you want to understand all that Jesus said as far as this parable is concerned, you need to read it from all three of those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's read the Scripture. Stand as I read portions of Matthew 13, please. Verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 30, 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now the Lord does not leave the interpretation open to us, but he immediately interprets that for us. Verse 18. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word in the tares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. But he received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You may be seated. Now in a short series of study I've called Hindrances to Hearing based on the parable of the sower. And this morning I want to look at what Jesus called the wayside hearer, seed that fell along the wayside. When I was a freshman in high school, I got a job sowing ryegrass in a cornfield after the cultivators went through and tore up the ground and cultivated the corn. I've been racking my mind as to why I would plant ryegrass seed in the cornfield after it was Harold, but some of you who are farmers may remember why I did that. I would walk down the rows of corn with a bag over my shoulder, and underneath the bag was this hand crank, and you would crank it, and the seed would scatter in all directions. Some of it fell on the ground that was been just overturned by the harrower and by the cultivator, but some of it fell out on the edges of the field. Now, the edges of the field were very hard, and the ground was impacted. And the seed just laid there. It never germinated. When you went by the field several weeks later, you saw the ryegrass seed growing in the soil that was turned over and turned up. But the seed that fell on the wayside was gone. It never germinated. It was a feast for the birds. And as far as that edge of the field was concerned, it's just as if the seed was never sown. The Lord Jesus was a master teacher. On many occasions, he would use events from everyday life to teach very profound and spiritual truths. So it is with the parable that I just read to you in your hearing, referred to as the parable of the sower. That's the title our Lord himself gave it. Our Lord drew from a very common event in that agrarian society, namely a farmer scattering seed in a field that had been just plowed up. What the farmer did not know, according to this parable, was that 75% of the seed sown would never produce fruit. The seed fell on four types of soil, three of which were in a condition that were detrimental to the full growth of the seed. the wayside here, the stony ground here, and the thorny ground here. Then our Lord draws out the spiritual lessons from this common everyday event. The seed is the Word of God. Each time the Word of God is proclaimed, it is heard by certain people whose hearts are in the conditions represented by these four kinds of soil, three of which can contain hindrances to rightly hearing the Word of God. All four of those kind of hearers are in this place this morning. One of these types of soil represents each one of you, and we, including myself. Now, in our last message, we considered the parable in a broad overview. Now, this morning, I want to zero in on each of the soils and study them in detail. And this morning, I want to focus our attention on what I have called the wayside hearer. The outline is very simple. It's a basic outline we'll use in considering all four kinds of soil. I want to look at the facts in the parable, the Lord's interpretation of those facts, and observations that lay right on the surface of the text on our Lord's interpretation, and use that as by way of application. First of all, the facts as set forth in the parable, the wayside here. You have the description of the soil when the seed was sown. Look at verse 3 and the first part of verse 4. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside. That's probably the edge of the field where the soil is walked on, where it's trodden down. Or may refer to the paths around the field. Look at chapter 12. Just go back to chapter 12 very quickly. Because here we see that there were pathways either through or around the fields. Verse 1, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain. Notice they were going through the fields and plucking grain. So there were the edges of the field or maybe footpaths through the field that people walked on. And because of that, the ground is hard and impacted. And in scattering and broadcasting the seed on the loose soil, it was inevitable that some of the seed would fall on the edge of the field, which, as I said, which was trodden down and hardened. And the hardened, impacted earth on the wayside was not the only obstacle in the germination of the seed. Notice there was a presence of birds where the seed was sown, verse 4. And some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, this is a common and natural occurrence. Remember that, because when we apply that, as because the Lord will tell us, that's the enemy, that's the devil. This is nothing strange about this. Birds have the uncanny abilities to spot things on the ground to eat. In this case, the seed lays on the earth, on the impacted soil on the ground. The birds see it and do what birds do. They swoop down, they ate all the seed. Notice the effects on the soil after the seed was sown. Mark 4:4 says, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. In other words, all that seed that fell on the wayside was eaten and taken away by the birds. The birds devoured all the seed, and it was just as if the seed had never been sown. Now, what's the interpretation of that as we look at the Lord's interpretation of the facts in this parable? Now, I'm thankful that the interpretation of the parable is not left to us. Some of the parables are, but Jesus interprets this for us. Look at verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to tell you what all of that means. First of all, the wayside here does not understand what was heard. Remember, the seed is the Word of God. Verse 19, whenever anyone hears the word of the kingdom, Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. The hardened, impacted soil of the wayside represents the condition of the heart of the wayside hearer toward the Word of God. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, because the heart is hardened and unreceptive to the word, the wayside hearer does not understand what they hear. When anyone hears, they hear with their ears on their head, but they don't understand it in their heart. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Now that may mean that what they heard just went over their heads. They just had no understanding of any of it. Generally it doesn't go that far. Usually when there are unsaved visitors come to the church, I try to remember to ask him, did they understand the message? Was I plain and clear? Did you understand what I was trying to get across? Most of the time they'll say, yeah, what was preached was very understandable. But rarely do they say they understood what was preached as it related to them. Oh yeah, we heard it and it was plain and simple. But it just didn't seem like it applied to them, or at least they didn't apply it to them. In that sense, they didn't understand it. Secondly, the wayside here shows contempt for what was heard. Go over to Luke chapter 8. Here's an added dimension that Luke gives us that Matthew doesn't. Luke chapter 8. Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. The seed was laying exposed on the ground and then walked on. It was trampled underfoot, which means there was no regard for the seed. When they heard, what they heard was treated in that sense with contempt. As I had mentioned last time, I remember my niece telling me that she was out handing out tracts someplace. And she handed this tract to a man or a woman, I don't know which it was. And the woman and man saw what the tract was and threw it down on the ground and began to stomp on it, showing her contempt for the message of the gospel. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us here. But also, if you remain in Luke, you see the wayside here is victimized by the various emissaries of Satan. Look at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. What is the birds? Verse 12. Then those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Jesus says in Matthew 13:19, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. Mark adds one other dimension. He says in Mark 4:15, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in the heart. Now this is very important, because the reason why these various emissaries come and take away that which was sown in the heart is stated for us right here in Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Look at it. The devil comes and takes away the word out of the heart. Look at it. Lest they should believe and be saved. Satan's desire is to keep sinners in spiritual darkness and in bondage and drag them down into hell with him. He's determined to damn the souls of as many unbelievers as he possibly can. But he knows that sinners are saved by hearing the word of God. He knows what Paul says in Romans when he says that the gospel is the dunamis, the dynamite, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. He knows the word of God can take a dead soul and make them alive in Christ Jesus. And the devil takes no chances. He cannot rest knowing that the seed of God's word has been sown in the heart of the unbeliever. Even though the heart of the wayside here is hardened against God's word, even though he sees that it has been trampled underfoot, he is not content to let the word of God alone. In his hellish hatred of mankind and his fear of the power of God's word to change the human heart, he sends his many and various emissaries to take God's word out of their heart to ensure that they will not believe and will not be saved. What a terrifying thought that is. To realize that Satan hates unbelievers so much that he will take the word of God out of their hearts so they will not and cannot believe and repent. And as far as the wayside here is concerned, it becomes as if they never heard the Word of God preached. Some of you are wayside hearers this morning. And when you walk out of this service, because of the various birds that are hovering right over this congregation, knowing that your heart is hard, knowing that you have no regard for the Word of God, Satan's going to snatch that word out of your heart, and before you get down the bottom of the steps, you won't remember a single word that you heard. Or if you did, you will dismiss it as if it was seed that you wanted to trample on. All right, we looked at the facts and our Lord's interpretation. Let's look at some observations. The observation is something that's in the text, although it's not there by actual words and phrases. It is really there. And it lays right on the surface of the text itself. The heart of the wayside hearer, of all the other hearers, the heart of the wayside hearer is the most hostile to the gospel. The wayside hearer, compared with the other three kinds of hearers, is the most hostile to the gospel. Of all the three soils that did not bear fruit, the wayside here is the most unreceptive to the Word of God. There are three major hindrances to them hearing the Word of God in a way that produces fruit in them. The heart of the wayside here is hardened toward the Word of God and therefore unable to understand how it applies to them. There are some of you sitting here this morning, you're not even paying a single attention to anything I'm saying. Your mind is 1,000 miles away. You could care less what's in this book. You've been gospel hardened. Your heart, you've heard the gospel so many times, it's like when it falls, it's like buckshot off the back of a crocodile. So the heart of the wayside here is hardened towards the Word of God and therefore unable to understand, or even care how it applies to you. You don't even care. And it's treated with contempt, illustrated by it being trampled underfoot. And I've talked to some of you young people. Did you understand what I preached this morning? I don't pay any attention to that. This is you. You can laugh and joke and grin and all you want to, but that's you. And because it's left exposed by the hardness of the heart of the wayside here, Satan is able and is successful in snatching the word out of the heart. Satan comes and snatches the seed of God's word from your mind and heart. And as I said, before you leave this building, and it's the same as if you never heard the Word of God preached. In a sense, you might as well stay at home. You might as well stay at home, as far as it having any effect upon you. Although there is one issue, one dimension, that's not in this parable. Every time you hear the Word of God and reject it, your heart becomes even harder. You walk on that soil of your heart over and over and over again, and your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. And it's not just as if the seed was never sown, because the more of God's word that you hear with your ears and reject, the greater your condemnation when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was able to make those astounding statements to those cities up around the Sea of Galilee, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, when he said, "Woe unto you, Bethsaida, if the mighty works that were done in you were done in Sodom, those filthy, decadent cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, if I did those same miracles in those filthy Gentile cities, those cities would still be here today. I would not have had to judge them." It doesn't say that they would have repented like Tyre and Sidon. But he did imply that it would have had such a profound effect upon them that he would not have had to judge them. It would have had at least put a restraint on their wickedness. But he says, "But because you have not believed, it will be more tolerable for those wicked Sodomites on the day of judgment than for you. But praise God, the grace of God is greater than the hardest of hearts. We as a congregation are praying that God will take the plowshares of His mercy and sink them deep into that hard heart, break up that fallow ground, and make it receptive to the truth of the gospel. We are praying that He will give those of you who have that hard heart understanding of His Word, and you will see how it applies to you as a sinner standing on the very brink of eternity. We pray that He'll make it clear to you that you will put your hope in Christ Jesus. This is true of us as believers. Because of the neglect of the reading of God's Word, neglect of private prayer, or we've got unconfessed sin in our life, our hearts become dry and barren and hardened to the Word of God. Preaching that is plain, pointed, and powerful has little effect upon you. Have you ever experienced that? I have. Firstly, with myself. You hear with the ears on your head, but not the ears in your heart. And by the time you get home, Satan has taken away that which is sown in the heart. And as far as your growth in grace and being helped spiritually, it's just as if the seed were never sown. Second observation. Spiritual truth that is not understood is often held in contempt and rejected. Spiritual truth that is not understood is often held in contempt and rejected. Matthew 13:9, will anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it? Luke 8:5, as he sowed, some fell on the wayside and it was trampled down. Isn't that what Paul said to the church of Corinth? For the preaching of the cross to those who are perishing, what? Foolishness. It's looked on with contempt. Some prophet who was nailed to a cross and put into a tomb. I'm going to be saved from my sin based on a dead prophet. And some kind of mythical notion that He raised again from the dead, that's absolutely foolishness. See, they don't understand it. Therefore, they can treat it with contempt. Several years ago when I was preaching through John, I did that message on will you die in your sins when Jesus said, if you believe not, you'll die in your sins. And I took that CD and gave it to several of the men at the gym. And they all listened to it. One man said, I even sat down with my family and we listened to the whole thing. And one person said that sermon would have even scared the Pope. But then I pressed it home. I said, but how does that apply to you? What happens if you die in your sins? And the only response was, well, it gives you something to think about. And they just dismissed it. They weren't unkind. But you see, they did not understand how that applied to them. And they dismissed it. Spiritual truth that is understood is often held in contempt and rejected. This is interesting. Third observation, satanic activity will always be present wherever and whenever God's Word is preached. Satanic activity will always be present whenever and wherever God's Word is preached. The sower is found walking on a plowed field, scattering seed in all directions. As it falls on the wayside and lays there exposed, it attracts the birds. The same is true in a spiritual sense. As the preacher or teacher is sowing the seed of God's Word, it falls on hardened hearts, and as it lay there exposed, it attracts the birds of hell. And those birds are fluttering over the heads of this congregation at this very moment, looking for seed to devour. Thirdly, and this is important because in the application I want you to see this. Satan uses that which is natural and ordinary to snatch away the seed of God's Word. Satan uses that which is natural and ordinary to snatch away the seed of God's Word. How does Satan accomplish this? What means does he use to take away the Word of God from the hearts of the wayside here? In the parable, the Lord spoke of that which was natural and ordinary. What is more natural and ordinary than for birds to be swooping down and eating seed that's left exposed on the ground? Nothing mysterious about that. That's just the way birds are. This is so natural and ordinary that if Jesus had not explained what those birds represented, we would not have known that this represented satanic activity. So it is with the spiritual birds. Don't be looking for ghosts and goblins and some kind of occult phantom that's creeping and lurking between your pew, ready to snatch the seed away. No, no. Something that is very normal and natural. That if you didn't have this text, you would never attribute it to Satan. But according to this parable, they are. Let's look at some of them. The birds of a tired and sluggish spirit. Have you ever noticed how sluggish your mind comes when you pick up the Bible to read it in the morning or whenever you try to read it? I try to blame some of them on my blood pressure pill, and I think it is. I mean, I'll sit there and read it, next thing you know, I'm gone. And yet I just got out of bed. But maybe, and I don't get a newspaper, but you have to look on the floor and see the headlines of a newspaper, and pew, all of a sudden that sluggish, tired spirit is gone. Now you're interested. Now you're alert and attentive. What happened there? The birds of a tired and sluggish spirit. People come into the service vibrant and alert. They sing the hymns and participate in the first part of the service. But as soon as the Word of God is open, you see eyes glaze over, eyes closing, heads nodding. Make sure you don't do that when I feel cranky, because I'm going to call your name out one of these mornings. But it happens. Sometimes I don't even get the book open. We don't even get done reading the first text, you see. Some of you remember a time when we actually heard someone snoring in the service. That, I almost did stop and call the name out that time because it was distracting everybody. But a sluggish... Now, would you attribute that to satanic activity? Jesus does. Everywhere the Word of God is preached, there will be a bird ready to snatch that seed. And that bird will look like something that is common and ordinary. The birds of wandering thoughts. Boy, we all have a problem with that one, don't we? You're trying to read the scriptures or you're trying to listen to the sermon and your mind is wandering all over the place. And you just have to, should just cry out, "Oh Lord, help me discipline my mind." But it happens rather naturally, doesn't it? The birds of distraction. Baby cries. I'm glad no one has a little infant in here. They'd say, "Pastor Tom says my baby's of the devil." I didn't mean it that way. But a baby cries. You know, that's very distracting, isn't it? Or a little child keeps talking. That's distracting. Someone gets up, and I'm not saying if you have to go to the bathroom, please go. But someone gets up and has to walk out for a few moments. What happens? Every head turns. And then when they walk in, every head turns. Wait till they sit down. It starts to rain. You hear the sound of rain on the roof and everybody's head goes up. I've often said, what do you expect to see? What do you expect to see up there? But everybody... Several years ago, I remember taking one of the men from our church on evangelism, going out to visit some people who visited the church who we didn't believe were saved or didn't know where they were saved. And we entered into this house of this young couple, had two children. The children were upstairs or in their playroom. I don't know where they were. But we had a conversation. Eventually, we got to the gospel and got right up to the point where we were challenging them to call on the name of the Lord to be saved and to repent of sin. And just as we got there, their two children ran into that room, and it was like they just all went nuts. They jumped in both of their parents' lap, yelling and screaming and ruffling up their hair, "Daddy, play with us! Mommy, play with us!" Well, back then, I was sort of blunt. I just said, "Take those kids and get them up to bed." And they listened to me, too. I was surprised. I wondered if they didn't get out of my house. And as I were taking the kids up to the bed, I said to the man with me, "Now, you have been with me on several occasions. We've been out soul winning. Is there one common denominator that you have seen in each one of these visits?" He says, "Yes." I says, "What?" "Every time we get to the end of presenting the gospel and maybe exhorting the people to cry out to the Lord, the dog comes running in, the phone rings, the doorbell rings, the children go crazy." And I said, "Do you know what that is?" Right here. Satanic activity. Trying to snatch the seed out of their hearts by these birds of distraction. Then there's the one that we all need to be careful of. The birds of idle talk. How much of the conversation after a service is nothing more than idle talk? Boy, this is some weather we're having, isn't it? "Oh, that's a wonderful dress." Or, "Where'd you go on vacation? Have you heard about so-and-so?" Or a few harmless puns and jokes. And before many people get out of the door of the church, the seed of God's word has been snatched away. Now, I'm standing in the back, and I'm guilty of that myself. But we need to be a little bit careful about that. We hardly ever take into consideration that God may be dealing with some. A person may be under conviction. And we engage them in some kind of trivial, idle talk. And it distracts them, and Satan snatches away the seed. And lastly, the birds of ill-timed criticism. Have you ever heard a sermon that you were blessed by it, but somebody was griping about something trivial about it? And it like snatched away the blessing that you got from it. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. All these things seems to be natural and common. But Jesus says, behind it all is satanic activity, all designed to prevent unbelievers from being saved and believers from receiving a blessing and being built up in the faith. And as we leave the service this morning, let's not allow ourselves to become one of those birds that Satan uses to take away the word that was sown in the heart. Let's bow in prayer.